Welcome to this week's Sports Community Podcast, a podcast that'll hit you for six. Now, here's your hosts, Steve Pellis and Joe Novella.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Community Podcast with your host, Steve Pellis and Joe Novella. Episode 77. Who would have thought that us two would be hanging around this long to make 77 episodes? But we've got the heads for radio, Steve, as mentioned in our intro by our lovely Jen, who is a quality member of our staff here at Sports Community. So welcome everyone to today's podcast. And mate, we've got a great guest with us today, Heather Callahan from Cardinia Shire.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to Heather coming on, Joe, because what she's going to do, I guess, well, we're hoping, well, we know because we've pre-recorded the interview, but she's going to talk about all the different ways that the clubs can work with councils and the different ways that councils can help clubs. And it's really exciting because it's a lot more than just providing the keys to the facilities the clubs use.
So, you know, this you're trying to make it like the interview's live's just gone now. You've just blown that.
Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Speaking of the things that we're not so good at, Joe, this week or next week, a couple of days is Valentine's Day. How are you looking?
I'm looking as good as I am every year. So
so you haven't put any second of thought into it.
So I'm pretty much on track to meet my typical standards. Yeah, yeah.
It's good to set the benchmark low, Joe. Yeah,
now we've got some really exciting stuff coming up at Sports Community. 2016 is a monumental year of development for us here at the organisation. We are going to be producing an enormous amount of content that is going to be available for grassroots volunteers out there. And it's fair to say, mate, I've been looking at the production calendar and the scheduling that's been happening for our studio here at Dava Drive headquarters here in beautiful Mornington on Melbourne's Mornington Peninsula. And we have got not an ounce of time, not a skerrick of time spare this year because we're so booked up with content that we need to produce. So tell me about some of the highlights that are coming up in terms of the content.
Well, Joe, and I trust that you won't use how busy we are at work as your excuse for not getting a Valentine's Day present, but
of course I will.
it's really exciting, and it's really being driven by feedback from the people that we work with, the volunteers and the people that come on and use the website and come to the webinars and that sort of thing. So late last year, we launched a free webinar, and it was called Unlocking the Secrets to Running Community Sports Clubs. And it was fair to say we were blown away with the attendances to those webinars. I think we had over 1,500 people, give or take, attend five or six different sessions, which was just amazing, and the feedback was just huge. So we're going to continue with offering free webinars through the year, and we're going to have it on a range of different topics. One will be creating a culture of volunteering. How do you actually create that culture of volunteering within a club? We're going to have a real spotlight on fundraising, and a topic close to your heart, Joe. We're going to look at your effective use of social media, how clubs can use social media and websites. So they're all going to be free webinars during the year, which effectively people just register and come in and join the conversation.
So, Jess, let me just pause you there for a second. We get a lot of calls from our community asking about prices for various services and whatnot. But just to reiterate, we will be offering these for free on the back of the feedback that we've had from the initial webinars that we ran last year. So these are free webinars. The clubs won't have to pay for these.
No. And coming out of last year, Joe, the other thing that we were going to launch this year, because What we did is, as you very well know, but for the listeners, what we did when we ran these free webinars is we said, well, we presented the topic and the secrets to the successful sports clubs. And then you and I stayed online on the webinar, and we just answered. We said, we'll stay online for as long as there's questions. And after each webinar had finished, like a 40, 45-minute webinar, 50-minute webinar, we were still online 45, 50 minutes later because people were coming up with so many amazing questions. So another initiative for the year, and again, this will be free, is that we'll start to run maybe quarterly or three or four times a year. What we'll do is we'll get a panel of people, different experts within community sports field, and we'll just create a webinar where anyone can come and just ask their questions. So it'll be like an expert panel, and any question that you've got relating to community sports, running your community sports club, put it to the group, put it to the panel, and we'll be able to give you that feedback and our opinion, or whatever whoever's on the panel, as to how to tackle that issue or that item that you might be faced with. So we think, again, coming out of what we learned from last year about how people want support and want help in a way that they want it, we're really excited about that, and just got to identify who the experts are going to be that will sit on that panel, Joe.
Yeah, and look, it's. It's quite look. I'm obviously an employee of Sports Community, and depending on how I go at these podcasts, that may not remain the same for much longer. But look, you're the business owner, and it strikes me as being we do have some paid product here, which hopefully is of outstanding quality, and it warrants the investment that clubs put into it by purchasing the product. But you're the business owner, and I know how much it takes to get a webinar up, because I'm the guy that's putting it together. So it involves setting up microphones, involves setting up Skype and GoToMeeting and a whole bunch of software. It involves video cameras, involves lighting. There's an enormous amount of production that goes on.
Not to mention, you know, this little thing called, the content. Joe.
The content, absolutely the content. So the enormous amount that goes on, this must cost a lot of money. I realise that. So what I'm trying to get at here is you're making an incredible, not sacrifice, but to offer this for free is a really quite a big thing, and I can see that because I'm involved in putting a lot of it together. So why are you doing that, mate? I mean, why that generosity?
Oh, generosity. Excuse me. It's more about building a community of people that can help each other, and exposing as many people as possible to Sports Community. And one of the philosophies of our free webinar series, Joe, is we put our very, very best information in there. You know, it's not about, yes, most of the sessions free, the sessions where we tackle a topic will link to other resources, but you get some really cool information, you get empowered, you start to learn about us, but more importantly, about easier ways to do whatever it is in volunteering, and then build that relationship between us and our community, and find out what they need and how we can help. And I guess in due course, then we continue. The more we learn about and create relationships with people at the club level, the more we can create products and services that they need that they're willing to pay for or wanting to pay for, because we solve a problem. But the only way to do that is to become trusted and people see who we are and where we're coming from. And I guess one of the leading into one of those significant sort of activities that we're going to launch this year as well is, you know, as we've talked about, we've got a tremendous online training resource, whether it's webinars, videos, on-demand online training, which we'll launch later in the year as well, which we're really excited about. But the other thing that I'm really excited about, Joe, is that we're putting together a series of one-day workshops where people can come attend. But these workshops, they won't be lectures. And this is the really exciting thing for me. They'll be in a format where you've got half an hour of theory and then you go and do something. And then another half an hour theory and you do something and another half an hour theory. And the three sessions that we've designed conceptually, Joe, is a club leadership one, a fundraising one and a social media one. So for instance, in the club leadership one, you'll come in and we'll talk a little bit theoretical, but then we'll start to work through, right, defining objectives. How do we get to the objectives? How do we create the culture of volunteering? How do we create a fundraising strategy, communication strategy to underpin what the club is actually trying to achieve for that given year? So the people will come to the session and by the end of it, they'll have a documented plan that relates to their club. Or if we put it in a different format, the social media, website, communication one that I know you're developing, Joe, it's really exciting because, again, we'll give them examples and then they'll work around a room where they'll see how easy. They'll actually create a little video that they can post on a website and an email newsletter, and they'll create photos and memes and, you know, images on photos that they see that looks really professional, and they'll do it. So they'll be able to walk out of that session having a communication strategy and knowing how to use things like Facebook, Twitter, and all that sort of stuff. And that's really, really exciting. And we're going to run those workshops in most capital cities around the country throughout the year, which I'm really excited about. We're just playing around with dates and locations and venues.
But okay, that was the next question because I'm sure we'll get a lot of people asking about the timetable for these events. So that's in development now.
Well, we don't want to rush it. So they'll be a couple of months away as we just get it ready. So I'm thinking kind of May, April, May, we'll start to... Oh, sorry, that'll where we start to the national roadshow of these sort of things.
So in terms of communicating, because there will be a lot of people that want to be part of this, the best thing is to be a subscriber of our newsletter and to be part of our social media sites. Is that the best way to keep updated on the timetable and schedules for these
absolutely. Yeah, and to join the newsletter, just go to our website, www.sportscommunity.com.au, and in the right-hand tab, you'll see the email subscription area and just put your name details in there. And there's so much information about grants on a fortnightly basis that email is one of the most hotly read emails going out into the sports industry, which we're really proud of, Jay.
Okay, well, I'd like to say that Heather Callahan is waiting on the other side of the line patiently while we discuss all of these things, but that's not true because Steve's told everyone that we've pre-recorded the interview, so we'll give you a few messages from the sports community, and then we'll come back and we'll listen to Steve's chat with Heather on the other side of the break. Stay tuned. It's got some great information on how clubs can interact with their councils, including some very, very surprising support services that councils have on offer for clubs that I'm sure many of you probably would not have heard of and would like to avail yourselves of once you understand what councils can actually do for your clubs. So stay tuned. We'll be back with you, Steve and Heather, shortly.
Have you been asked to help lead your club but not quite sure what to do? Do you know what to do but it takes you hours and hours? Do you wish your members could help you achieve club goals? Well, sign up to our Leadership Masterclass to learn how to calmly and easily lead your club to achieve big goals while minimising volunteer time and engaging your whole membership. To sign up or to learn more, simply visit www.sportscommunity.com.au.
All right, as mentioned at the top of the show, really excited to be joined today by the team leader of recreation and facilities at the Kardinia Shire, Heather Callahan. Heather, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Now, Heather, one of the things and why I'm so excited about you joining the show today is when we're out working with clubs, we get this unbelievable feeling that clubs just don't understand the tremendous partner that council can be for them.
And often there's the concept that the clubs are literally just the landlords and they don't help or support clubs in any way. But from our experience, that, and particularly with Cardinalshire, there's nothing further from the truth. So in the makeup of your team, like what's the role of your team in helping clubs engage their community and maximise their value to the community?
We've actually got quite a diverse team at Cardinia. We don't just have staff who are dealing specifically with facilities and facility management, so not just working on project development of renovations of new facilities and being in a growth area of building new facilities. We actually have other roles within the team that actually work specifically on what we refer to as sport development. So that role is purely a resource for clubs within the Shire, and we're not the only council in Victoria that has a similar role. So that role actually is purely set up to be a supporting mechanism for our sporting clubs. So that role assists with identifying new opportunities for new sports. We have a number of state sporting associations that come to us with interest to start up new sports, and we work with them to try and identify members in the community to start up new sporting clubs and new opportunities for our growing and emerging communities within Cardinia. So that resource is purely there to support new participation. It's there to support current clubs. So that role provides a number of development and learning opportunities for volunteers in sporting clubs, and that might be administrators in sporting clubs, that may be coaches in sporting clubs, etc., or just to help them with ongoing issues. As we all know, most of us have been volunteers working in this industry in our own sporting clubs, or still are. So we all have experience in relation to the numerous issues amongst clubs and sports, and a lot of the issues aren't just in a particular sport, they're in a club across the board. So we've specifically got a resource, as I said, as a number of other councils do, in relation to supporting sporting clubs. And those roles aren't in relation to facilities. They are purely to support sport and sporting clubs and their volunteers.
So, and you're 100% right. There's so many councils now including that sport and club development role within their sport and rec teams. So one of the things that we strongly recommend to new committees as they come in is almost one of the first calls that you should make is to the sport and rec team of your local council, just to introduce yourself if you're the new president or whatever, and just to learn all the opportunities, all the ways that council can support you in that role. Is that something that you encourage within your own clubs?
It is, because that person that they make contact with in that specific role won't necessarily just give them the information about council, and unless you've actually worked in council, you will not understand the depth and the diversity of what council actually provides. There is many, many different areas of council that can actually support sporting clubs, not just the sport and recreation departments, and that resource can actually direct them to other opportunities as well. As I said, many people that work in those roles actually work within sport themselves, are actually volunteers in their own clubs. And because we deal with a lot of the state sporting associations, we deal with other local governments, we deal with the state government, we deal with elite sporting bodies, we have a lot of connections and a lot of contacts that we can actually direct them to. So it's not just about what council can actually offer them, but it's also about them understanding simple things as basic as the constitution of their club and understanding what their requirements are as a volunteer in their club and someone that's just gone onto the committee, through to, you know, putting them in contact with somebody at their state sporting association who's able to help them with a specific issue. So it's not just about what council can offer, it's also about the connections we have and the knowledge we have to be able to share that with the volunteers.
Well, and we're going to explore in just a tick the different connections that you do have, and particularly within the community, and clubs that do work closely with council are amazed at the doors that council can open to future participants. But you spoke about the depth and diversity of ways that council, not just sport and rec, but the ways that council can support clubs. Do you want to just take us through some of those ways that council can support clubs?
Well, we actually have a number of professionals themselves in the areas that they actually work. So whether it actually be from a club looking at their risk management, we have risk management professionals that actually operate in our organisation, not just from an organisation perspective, but they also work with numerous community groups on community events, community activities, their everyday club activities, their everyday community group activities. So from a risk perspective, from an occupational health and safety perspective, we also have quite an extensive community development department who actually have connections through a number of the community organisations throughout the Shire, whether they be not-for-profit local community groups, incorporated groups, whether they be larger state-based organisations who have got a base within Cadinia or the Casey Cadinia region. There's a number of connections throughout the area. We've got obviously professionals in those community development areas. We've got connections through to the local schools, which a lot of sporting clubs try and connect into the local school for participation numbers. We've got quite a large health promotion area, which does a lot of work in relation to physical activity and encouraging people to get out and active. There's a number of different areas within council that can actually assist our sporting clubs with whatever it is that they're actually doing, because there's no doubt a professional in our club, in our council, who works in that area for us and can provide that information to the clubs.
Oh, absolutely. And for any club that's got an objective to increase participation or to even have participants, so that's pretty much everyone, again, we strongly recommend to go to council, because you have so many relationships with people within the community that effectively you're going to be that target audience of that club, and you can make that introduction so much more easily than if the club's got to, first of all, identify that group and then go almost cold call knocking on the door. And that's such a powerful it is a service, but it's so much more than that. It's so much a powerful thing that councils bring to the table, is that understanding of the community.
Yeah, and it also works the other way as well, in that we have a number of people that come to us saying, we're actually looking for this, whether it be something as simple as our communications department that are putting out publications, or they're wanting to highlight something in particular within our Shire. If we actually know what our clubs are doing and who they are and who's out there, whether they are or aren't using council-managed facilities, we can actually provide them with free promotion or connections that can actually help them operate their club that they may not have known was out there. For instance, I've recently had a company in the area who've come and chatted to me about sponsorship opportunities. They're actually wanting to sponsor sport within our Shire. And I've actually provided them with a lot of information in relation to our sport and recreation in the area. Now, that company has actually come to us because they're wanting to put money into local sport. Now, if we don't know what clubs do and how they operate and what they're actually doing, we can't provide that information to a company that wants to invest in them. So it also works the other way. In us knowing about what's actually happening in the community and what our clubs are doing, we can actually direct people to them who are actually looking to assist them.
Well, I'm glad you brought up communication, because I guess when we started Sports Community, we were surprised at just the level of communication that councils do with their local community, whether it be the council website or publications throughout the year. So what does Cardinia do to communicate that clubs can tap into? Because you've got a well-used website, I think, from memory, and quite a number of publications throughout the year, is it?
We've actually found more and more over the years that more online communication is more relevant to our community. However, we still do have elements of the community who don't have access to the internet or to online measures. So we heavily use our website, our Facebook, Twitter, council's YouTube, etc. And we also draw upon our partners in relation to their access as well. For example, we've got the YMCA managing the major recreation facilities we have in Seasonal Pools, Regional Tennis Centre, Cadinia Life, our Regional Aquatic Centre, and they also have avenues to be able to get communications out as well. So we work in tandem with our our partners as well, getting information out, as well as through our own channels. We also have Cadinia Connect, which is actually a newsletter that goes out to every residential property within the Shire. So you're actually getting direct marketing through there that every resident in the Shire is actually getting that delivered to their letterbox. So there is a number of opportunities and avenues to actually get information out.
Yeah, and so if you've got an event or an activity in any way that you want the community to engage with your club, then a great place to start is actually getting it into those free communication mediums that council offer. And having spoken to a number of the people in council side that have to pull that together, they're often dying for someone to give them content that they can put in there that the community wants. And so it's just a win-win.
That's exactly right. We've got something as simple as an events calendar on our website, and that is accessible to anyone in the community to actually log on to and log their event on a particular day. And that is one of the heavy traffic areas of our website, is actually people looking for events and activities that are actually in the Shire and looking at on a particular day what's actually on. So we try and encourage the community groups to actually put their, not just sport, but all community groups to put their activities on there, because that's where people are looking for what's happening in the Shire.
Yeah. And having seen a couple of the statistics of council websites, it's just mind-blowing the amount of traffic that's going through, the number of inquiries that the community is making. So, when you think about putting it on the council, information about your club on the council website, but also if you can get the information to it, your registration day, your come and try day, your major event or whatever it is, into a newsletter that's going to every single person within that community, that's just phenomenal. It's a free service that council can offer. I mean, they can't always put every piece of information in those publications, but
no.
I know that they try very, very hard to do that.
But we also, through the Connect, we also encourage people to get back onto Council's website to seek information. So, as you said, we can't put every piece of community information of what's happening within the Shire in that newsletter, but there is direction back towards the website and back towards the events calendar and information of where to find things. So even if your information doesn't get into those printed publications, it automatically directs people back to the website to search for more information. And what we find is that when people move into the area, we've still got heavy growth numbers, is that people jump onto the website because they're able to find things like when their bin collection days are and simple things that people need to know when they move in. So once they're on the website and that's where they go for their information on their need-to-know information, they can then search on there and find out the information of around where they live and what are the activities that are actually happening. So that also directs a lot of traffic to our website in relation to basic information, and then they find out a lot of things that they didn't actually get on there to look for in the first place.
Yeah. Absolutely, and sports often, once you get past those need to know things, sports often sport and schools are often the next thing on the agenda. So, earlier on in the discussion, you mentioned that council was full of really skilled people in areas that clubs deal with, and absolutely they are. So, one of the other really strong recommendations that we do, and we kind of find ourselves in strategic planning season at the moment. We're working with about 10 or so clubs at the moment, building their strategic plans. And once we get to a point where there's even a little bit of structure around them, then we highly recommend that you take your strategic plan and take it to the sport and rec team and say, look, this is our vision for the year or for the future. What's your opinion? Give us your thoughts. And then the clubs are so surprised at how much council can actually contribute and facilitate towards and guide and direct and support towards those strategic objectives where previously they thought they were all by themselves.
We actually have a number of strategic plans ourselves, and that's not just from a Cadinia perspective, that is with councils across the board.
Yep.
We're in a probably a little bit different situation to the majority of councils in that we're in a growth area, Casey and out the other sides of the city, etc.
Yep.
So we actually have more planning documents than other councils. So those planning documents are as simple as being able to advise clubs where we're looking at building new facilities. It will actually provide clubs with the list of what council has from existing facilities in relation to the proposed redevelopments on facilities and things like that as well. So clubs need that information to actually develop their strategic plans. And if they don't have those links with council, they're really developing a strategic plan with a singular focus rather than looking at more broadly what's happening in their area and having the input of other plans and what's actually happening. There's no point a club working towards and heavily looking at a redevelopment of one of their facilities and going down the track of fundraising and doing a whole lot of work in relation to that if council's actually got the plan of doing work themselves in 2 years' time. So by working with council from a facilities perspective, and a lot of clubs focus their plans around facilities, is to actually find out what the plans are for your facility and what competition you've got coming up in the local area with new facilities being built if they're in a growth area. But more simply, council is actually able to assist as well with population information. So Cadinia's website actually has a link through to the organisation that we use, and there's a lot of information in relation to community stats on there. So to find out where you're based, and being in a growth area, it's probably more relevant for our clubs to find out the exact information about how many people are moving in, when are they moving in, what is the demographic, are we actually looking at young families moving in. We've got a lot of older adults moving in as well, which is a market that a lot of groups don't necessarily think about because they see growth areas as young families, but they're also bringing grandparents with them to live close by. So we've got a growing market in older adults as well. So it's not just in relation to the facility stuff, it's also about all the other information we can give you, where new schools are going, are they going in next to your reserve. There's a lot of information, particularly for growth areas, that council can actually provide you that will actually assist with strategic planning in the future, both from a facilities perspective, from a community perspective, and also other groups that you may want to go and speak to, such as your local sporting association or state sporting association, because they will have plans in relation to growth and development of the sport as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, another area that the clubs often overlook is that whole area of events, and I just want to tackle that from two angles. Often clubs will hold quite a large sporting competition that will become effectively a community event, and when I was involved in the Casey and Cadinia Football League, that was a really good example of 10,000 people in some days were converging on that location. So that brings in a whole lot of things like traffic management, waste management, toilets and utility sort of arrangements that council have a significant amount of expertise and also have the ability to supply, sometimes donate, but certainly supply and guide and support the volunteers as they're planning what can be some significant community events.
That's exactly right. We run large community events ourselves, and a lot of the times that we're running those large community events, they are actually on sporting facilities because they provide the infrastructure that's required to run those events. So as you were just saying in relation to traffic management and a number of other things, we've quite often already got those types of plans because we've run events there ourselves. So rather than actually having it duplicated, a lot of the time that information is available. And also from that perspective, because we run our own events and we're required to develop those things ourselves, we've actually got, as I said before, professionals in those areas that can actually assist with that. Yes. Unfortunately, council sometimes gets seen as the bad guys in relation to running events because there are requirements from state government and statutory requirements in relation to certain things that need to happen for events. So quite often for larger events, there's actually permits and things that are actually required that are out of our hands, but we're required to enforce for different events. So it's worth actually speaking to council a lot earlier and finding out exactly what is needed for an event. I'm currently organising two council events, sporting events for January and February next year, and I have to go through exactly the same process that a community group or a local sporting association would need to running a large event, example, sporting finals. I have to go through exactly the same process. So I'm more than happy to share that information that I've worked to produce for events, to share that with community groups rather than them reinventing the same things all over again. And when we've run the events on similar facilities in the past, a lot of the time it can just be copied across. So rather than volunteers spending their time doing it, we may actually be able to give them the information and them not have to do it themselves.
Well, absolutely. I mean, at the start of the planning for each of the major football netball final series, our very first point of call for each location was the council, and you know, the bigger the event, the more obligations there are, legislative and compliance. But it's much better and it's much easier to know about that as early as possible, and to be guided by the experts, as you've mentioned quite a few times, that council are in a lot of these areas. And we found it just by far and away the easiest way, because we were able to leverage off your knowledge, and so few volunteers would understand things like, even simple things like, if you've got 1,000 people, how many toilets do you need? How many rubbish bins do you need? What are you going to do with your rubbish when the bins fill up? And those sort of things that we don't really think about the first time until the bins are full, or the toilets are run out of toilet paper, or the queues are, you know, 50 metres long.
And there is actually a lot of guidance around it. A lot of documents have been produced in relation to how to do those things. So there is a lot of information that we can give you directly, rather than you sitting down and trying to work out, if I've got 7,000 people here for an event, how many toilets do I need? How many drinking fountains do I need? How many bins do I need? Et cetera, et cetera. There is actually standard formulas that are actually used for event management that we can actually give you, to give you that answer in about 2 minutes of working out your formula as to how many people you've got. So it's also a matter of making sure you've got a safe event as well. So if you've got those people on site, how are you going to get them out? What's your plan for pedestrians versus cars? If there is an emergency, how are you going to get people out, and how are you going to manage that? So it's also making sure that your event is not just conducted, but it's actually conducted safely.
Safely, yeah.
And that your spectator amenity is of a good standard, so that people actually want to come back to your event because they've had a positive experience, because everything was organised and what they needed was there, and they were able to see what was going on, and they were able to participate in the event that you're actually operating, and making sure that that event actually happens again next year, and that people want to come back because they enjoyed it so much because of the planning that was done in the first place. To make sure that event was a success.
Yeah, and if you're running an event for the first time, you often think a lot of these discussions are bureaucratic overhead. But any of us that have been involved in event management, and let's just call it sporting event management, for any length of time, knows that all these situations, they genuinely occur during the event, and you have to deal with them. And if you don't deal with them, then it really puts the event at jeopardy, whether it be through compliance or just the experience and the customer service experience of the people attending. So, yeah, it's much better to leverage off the knowledge of the experts. And we always consider council to be the experts in that field. But as you said, council put on so many events themselves, which do create opportunities for promotional activities for the clubs. And, you know, Australia Day and even things like many towns and communities have street marches on Anzac Day and Easter and those sorts of things, which are tremendous opportunities for clubs to promote themselves, showcase themselves, introduce themselves to the community.
The majority of councils throughout Victoria will actually run, depending on their location, a festival or a show or some type of full-day community event that showcases the local opportunities. So anyone looking to actually promote their sporting organisation or community organisation, that is the perfect opportunity. That it's generally a yearly event. It's generally run on the same weekend each year. And council are seeking community groups to actually display or become involved in those particular events. So it's a great opportunity to have a captive audience of people who are actually coming to an event or an expo, a community day or a show, to actually get a captive audience to celebrate what they do and to increase their participation. There is also a number of other community activities and events that are also run at a smaller scale, and also community events that you can also link into other community groups. For instance, some of the local service clubs, the SES, the CFA, are more than happy to support community events and to help different groups, whether it be with parking cars, traffic management, barbecues, those types of things. There is also other community groups that will also support events, rather than just thinking that you've actually got to do it yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't need to be daunting when we say get involved in these community events. I mean, I was at a council-run family day on the weekend, and there was a couple of sports there, and one of them was netball, and they had the netball club there and a goal and a movable goal, and they were just getting the kids to have shots at goals. And soccer was there, and they would just, you know, have a kick at a goal and then go to the back of the line, and Aussie rules were there. You know, handball through the target. It's really simple, fun stuff. It doesn't need a lot of energy, a lot of time to plan or deliver. No. Just people to be there and talk about the thing they love, which is their club.
And with a link to your local association or to your state sporting association, if they've got the resources, they will support you to run those things as well. So it might be as simple as a phone call to your local association or state sporting association. Hey, we've got this event that we've got an opportunity to participate at. Is there any support you can provide? They may actually be able to give you the equipment to do that. And if you're fortunate enough, they may even have a sport development officer or equivalent in their association that can actually come out and help you to run the event. So there are assistance and support available, that it's not just about you having to find volunteers all day, but there are other groups out there that can actually help you to showcase what you do at those events.
And look, Heather, I think that's the wonderful thing about this whole discussion is the volunteers often feel so alone. They've got so much work, but they're naturally introverted within the club, and they for some reason hesitate to look outside the club at how other people and other community groups can support them. And councils are the first point of call, because you know everybody, you have so much expertise, you know what's going on. As you said, if they know what's going on at a club level, they can promote it, or if they see grants, they can put them in front of you, or they can endorse you. I mean, the biggest advocate for community sport is council, and I think you've illustrated that so tremendously well in the last half hour. It's been great.
Thank you. A lot of clubs don't actually realise. They think that their major contributor to their club is actually whoever their major sponsor is. A lot of clubs don't actually look outside what they actually do to realise the significant support that their local associations, their state sporting associations, local government, and to a certain extent state government, actually provide towards their clubs and their facilities. So I know I'm a volunteer myself within a sporting club, and you get bogged down with the day-to-day stuff, trying to get teams out on the field, trying to make sure you've got the numbers, and it always gets left to too few doing too much, which no matter what sport you're involved in seems to be across the board. So it's very difficult when you're trying to get teams on the field and to get your everyday things happening with your participation, to actually try and look outside your four walls and to try and see what's happening out there and where you can actually get support. But by investing the time to do that, it will actually help you to achieve what you're trying to do day to day.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's what it's all about, and making it easier and more fun to be a volunteer and make the club so successful. So, Heather, thank you so much for spending half an hour with Sports Community and our listeners talking about how council can support them. And I guess you would endorse the fact that we say to the volunteers all the time, when you first come in, ring and introduce yourself to Sport and Rec. When you've got your strategic goals for the year, what do you want to achieve? Go and make sure Sport and Rec know. When you've got an event, when you've got something that you want to get the community involved in, let Sport and Rec know, because they're your partner. They're not adversarial, as you mentioned, sometimes this seems to be the case.
The other thing I would also suggest to clubs is not just to make contact and get to know the staff within the Sport and Recreation Department, but make sure that they're aware of what ward they actually sit in as part of their council, and make sure that they're actually known to their ward councillors as well, because it's not just about the staff that work in council, it's also about the councillors. They're actually voted in to represent your particular ward and what their community activities and events and what council's actually doing within your ward. So I also suggest when I meet with clubs for them to actually get to know who their councillors are and make sure their councillors are actually aware, first of all, that they exist, but secondly, about what their activities are, what they're actually doing, and what their future plans are, because your councillors are just as big of advocates for what you do as the sport and recreation staff in the council are.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because looking through my notes, it was an area I omitted to even put in there. So thank you for that. And there's so many ways that you can involve councillors and mayors and even CEOs who at some stage may need to be advocates for grant applications or facility redevelopments in season launches and launches strategic plans or past players' days. Really successful clubs work very hard to engage the councillors and make sure that they understand what their club's trying to achieve and their role within the community.
And even as simple as sending them out your club communication, whether that be through a regular e-newsletter, whether that actually be through a printed newsletter, whether that actually be that you communicate through apps or social media and those types of things, trying to make sure that they actually get that information, because you may actually find that they learn that you've actually got something on, not through a direct invitation, but because they're actually linked to you through your communications that go out, they'll turn up to events and things. They might turn up to see a match on a Friday night, or come down to training on a Tuesday night or something like that. So any way that you can actually get communication through, whether that be through face-to-face, written communication, social media, etc., the more information they know about what you're doing, and more broadly your association, state sporting association, council staff, etc., the more people know about what you're doing, the more opportunity you've got to link into other things outside of your club.
And if you've got mayors and councillors attending, then you've certainly increased your probability of getting the media to come to whatever it is they're
That's
attending.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, it's funny how that works, that one. Heather, you have been so generous with your time. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise, and I really hope that we start to think a little bit more about the power of the relationship between the council are really sitting there wanting to provide to their sporting clubs. So I really thank you for coming on the show and sharing that with our listeners today.
No worries, not a problem. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks for joining us on today's podcast. Make sure you visit our website at www.sportscommunity.com.au to take advantage of our free resources to help your club be successful. And while you're there, subscribe to our newsletter to keep up to date with all the latest and greatest in grassroots sports. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and be sure to subscribe to our podcasts on your podcasting service, iTunes, Stitcher, or whichever you may use. We would also love to welcome you onto one of our weekly webinars, the schedule of which you can find on our website. And if you're looking for a unique gift, why not give the gift of knowledge by visiting our shop and purchasing one of our training products for someone at your club? Once again, thanks for being part of today's show. I'm Joe Novella.
And I'm Steve Pallas. Thank you for making us part of your sports community.